Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and other musicians, uncover their life stories, and discover what makes them tick. If you love guitar, music, and the backstory of people's lives, then stick around. You're in the right place. Hello, guitar and music fan, and yes, that means you. Our merch store is now open at guitarmerch.com. You can find really cool guitar and music shirts in there, as well as official Everyone Loves Guitar licensed merchandise. So check it out now at guitarmerch.com. Hey, everybody. This is Craig Garber. Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar. I am with Stelios Provis from Greece. This is the first interview. I had a guy interviewed in Cyprus, also named Stelios, believe it or not. But first interview from Greece, man. So thank you. Stelios is the lead guitar player for one of my bands I really love, one of my favorite bands called Planet of Zeus. And they're a great psychedelic rock band. And we'll talk and learn more about them today. Let me tell you about Stelios. His dad had a half-broken guitar. He used to strum every now and then, and he really enjoyed watching him do it. So whenever inevitably, he started classical guitar and music theory lessons at age 5. By the way, man, I can't even believe how well you wrote this in English. It's your second language, man. That's like, you know, inevitably.
I was very nervous.
Yeah, but you know what? Inevitably is like fucking SAT. Well, you don't know. It's like.
ACT. I know ACT.
Yeah, it's like an SAT word here, man. Nobody. So that's awesome. He got his first electric guitar when he was 13 years old. It was a made in Mexico Fender Strat that he still has just so he could look like Hendrix. And they formed Planet of Zeus unofficially during high school back in 2000. And he first used to play drums for the band because originally there were three guitarists that wanted to play together, but someone had to play drums, so Stelios took it. And eventually they got their friend Seraphim to play the drums. Planet of Zeus has released 4 studio and 1 live album throughout the last decade. The recordings for the 5th studio album are just finished and are being mixed. And hopefully once it comes out, you come back on the show, we'll talk about the new record, man. That'd be great. They've toured extensively around Europe. They've played some of the best-known European festivals like Grass Pop, Metal Meeting, Bloodstock UK, Desert Fest, and others. They've also been a crucial part of the so-called Greek rock revolution, as they're the first band in decades that broke the barriers of the underground. And their biggest headline show so far took place in Athens last September, and they had almost 10,000 people. Stelios has also been a session bass player for almost 12 years now. Dude, thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. What's the session scene like in Greece and maybe the overall music scene as well? And if you know, how is it different from America, or how do you feel it might be different from America?
The session scene in Greece is it's obviously smaller than American, sure, than the American one. Well, it's a small country here, and it is mainly based around folk music, like Greek folk music, traditional music. I mean, the star session players in Greece are bouzouki players, sure, you know, or clarinet, sure, clarinet players,
yep,
oud, or you know, things. And
oud.
So these are these are the star players here. The rest of us were just, you know, people that don't really enjoy playing that music that much, but you know, we're musicians, and we try to have some input, you know, to it. But other than that, so these are the top players. We don't have unions, you know. We don't have not as a country, but there's not musical union, you know, union for music players. I know that this happens in America.
Yeah.
It works kind of good for the players. I'm not sure if it's good or not.
I think most people would say
not there.
Well, I think most people would say it's good because if left to their own devices, people would pay less money, and they're so competitive that there's always going to be a guy willing to raise their hand and say, "I'll take it for less money." So
that's what we get here.
Yeah, so, I know. That's why I think the unions are really helpful for musicians.
So that's a big difference, and I also think that in general, the level is a little bit lower, and I include myself in that. I mean,
as a player, or
yes, as a musician, yes, as a player. We are not all perfect sight readers, for example. You know what I mean?
Yes.
we don't do a cappella, like it's nothing.
Sure, sure. Well, in just so you know, not every session player is a sight reader either here, although the better ones tend to be, or they've learned how to be over the years. You know, they've worked at it.
I'm talking about the better ones.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the best ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you, man. One thing I want to ask you is, you must be like super talented to be, you know, look, I don't care even if you said you're not one of the best musicians, you got to be pretty damn good to be a session player. And you play session bass, which isn't even your main, what's your main instrument? Is bass your main instrument, or is guitar? You also play drums? I mean,
drums was fun.
Yeah.
Right. Just fun. And that's why I didn't keep doing it. It was just fun. I didn't really practice, you know. I just found an old set from a family friend, an old Tama Swing Star. It was a mess anyway. So, and I tried to play. So I played kind of like mid-tempo things, and you know, no rudiments, no practice, no nothing. So drums is for me, it's off the table. It was just fun at the age of 18 to 22, something like that. But my main instrument is classical guitar, you know, that's what I've studied, but I've quit playing that.
Sure.
Because of the electric sound. In
of course.
General.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, I found that, when I was 17 to 18, I found out that, the technique you get at, your right hand from a classic guitar, you know, from the finger playing.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, was a very good asset. Play bass.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I could do it better than my friends that tried to do it with pick or something, you know. So I after the age of 18, I started studying just bass. I have stopped studying or practicing guitar since then. And I just studied bass because I also like the sound. I like the impact that has.
Hmm.
But you know, I don't know the English word, but the thing that I enjoy most,
right,
is playing guitar.
Your passion.
Yeah, my passion is playing guitar, but just for the band. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't played guitar for no one else. I mean, I won't be able to be a session musician and play guitar for whoever, or like, I just enjoy playing with my friends, you know, and play just rock music.
Sure.
That's what I like. That's what I've learned to play. I don't know how to play other kinds of music in the guitar. But during the years, I studied a lot of bass. So, you know, in the music scene, everyone knows that I'm a bass player. In the underground scene, everyone knows that I'm a guitar player.
It's funny that you use the word underground, because I interviewed, do you know Three Monkeys? Do you know Boris from Three Monkeys?
I don't know him, but I know Three Monkeys.
Okay, right. So they're from Switzerland. And he's the only other guy I've heard that used that word underground. And it's similar, you know, similar style of music, you know, except theirs is instrumental primarily. But it's the same psychedelic / stoner stuff. Why is that considered like underground in Greece?
It's not considered underground. We started from the underground, you know, when we started playing that music, like 16 years or something like that. I mean, I would tell one of my friends that, and he wouldn't be like someone who listens to hip hop or like house music. He knew something. He would know classic rock. And I would tell him like, do you know Caius? And he was like, no, what's this? Who are these guys? Or do you know Platz? No, who the fuck? So you know. At first, there were just us and our friends, you know, 50 friends, you know,
okay,
60, and this has been happening for like almost like 8 or 9 years in a row, and that's the first time that after we released our second album that, you know, people that we didn't actually know came to our shows.
Oh, that's really cool.
So that's and that's a spirit that we like to carry, you know, the underground spirit, yeah. the spirit of doing it just for the fun.
Sure.
It has a, you know, it's a,
yeah, man, I'm a big
feisty. I don't know.
It's like the underdog. I always support the underdog. I like that. Yeah. You know, yeah, the people you don't think are going to win and they win, you know, that's a cool feeling, you know, the people that aren't supposed to win. Are there a lot of bands like Planet of Zeus in Greece?
They are actually, yes.
Really?
And they started in Greece, like the last 10 years, every month, maybe two or three albums come out from this kind of band, you know.
Wow.
I mean in general a heavy rock band, right?
Yeah,
whatever that stands, like psychedelic, stoner rock, heavy rock, hard rock, whatever.
Sure. Everything.
It doesn't mean that everything is gold is gold, right?
Not
everything is very good, but the production is way more than what it used to be.
That's amazing.
And in the bio that I wrote to you, I'm writing Greek rock revolution. The thing that I'm telling you comes from a documentary film. A Spanish guy called Miguel, a Spanish director, came to Greece last September just to make a documentary about Greek rock music. You know, the whole concept of the underdogs and the underground that came up to the surface. And he named it Greek Rock Revolution, so that's why I used
it. That's cool. Where is that, on Netflix or something, or is it on?
No, it's going to festivals, you know.
Okay.
So it's not yet ready, but you can find the teaser online.
Very cool, called Greek Rock Revolution. And just so people know, Planet of Zeus is a really great, they're like, you know, as Stelio said, stoner rock, classic rock, psychedelic rock, but they're really great, really high energy, and you know, pretty much blues based riffs, which is like right up my alley, man. I gotta ask you a question. Your singer, every time I'm listening to him, the guy sounds like he's from Alabama.
No, he's not.
How does he have a southern accent? He sounds like, you know, something like Alabama or Texas.
You know, if you grow up listening to a certain kind of music over and over again and certain kind of singers.
Yeah.
Like even Elvis had a southern accent, you know?
But he was from the South. He was from the South. Yes, Memphis.
Yes, but that's the English that we used to hear. You know what I mean?
Yes, I get it. So he's mimicking the English that he heard. Basically,
yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how to do it otherwise.
I totally get that. You know, what's funny. A friend of mine is from Poland, but he lives in Dublin, Ireland. And right. When he learned English, with an Irish accent. So to him, that the accent is part of English. And that's kind of like what you're saying, sort of.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's that same thing.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. Very cool.
There's nothing more to it.
Yeah, very interesting. So tell me about the new album that's coming out. I want to, you know, tell me about how the recording process was. Is it different from the other records? When is it going to be out? Do you have a title? Give me the scoop, man.
All right. So the process was kind of different for the first time. I mean, we recorded our last two albums with our live sound engineer, you know, at his studio. this year, it's like a relationship. Like, you need a break. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we're good friends. We've been together like for 12 years. Mm. But we needed a change, sound wise. You know.
Sure.
We needed it to be more harsh. We come to understand that our productions are always kind of very bright and you know, very clean.
It is very clean.
And our songwriting stopped being very clean. Like so we thought it wouldn't match, you know.
Yeah.
So we tried different things. We recorded drums in a house, in a friend's house. With a remote rig, like not with an actual console. And we took like the, you know, the converters, sure, A to D and D to A, and preamps and microphones, and set up in his living room, and just did it there. And then we got back to our rehearsal room, and we did the bass and guitars there. Hmm. After that, it was a trip. After that, we went to a real studio for the vocals.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. No, but he's a friend of us, and he has a great booth.
Okay.
Booth, how do we call it? Yeah. So we, and also this was the place that the mixing would take place. So
okay,
either way, we were going to go there.
Sure.
So we went there, and now we are almost at the end of the mixing process. It's kind of, you know, more fuzzy. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
I mean, the whole thing, not just the guitars. The whole thing is more rough. We are not. We don't know yet when it will go out or how it will go out, because we have our own label.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we did that. We did that like 5 years ago, because we had some talks with labels back then, and their contracts were like funny.
Sure.
I don't know, in a bad way, funny.
Sketchy.
So we thought like, why won't we do it ourselves and see how this goes? We still have the company, but every time, just for the heck of it, you know, we're in the middle of conversations. We do it every time. We don't feel that DIY is the only way.
Yeah, so you're open.
Yeah, we're open to that. We don't do it in as a political act.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
It's just, we'll do what's the best for us.
Sure. Does everybody in the band own the label?
It's a matter of a Greek tax paying that one of us has the.
Oh, okay, has the, I get you.
It's cheaper if it's a personal, if it's one person. Than
oh,
when
man. God, leave so it to the.
We are, the rest of us, we are kind of employers of the company.
Got it. Totally get it. That's, it's, leave it up to the government to fuck up something good and make you have to go. You know, it's the same thing in every country, man.
Yeah. This, but here is like, I think we're overachievers on that level.
Hey man, so let me ask you a question. On Macho Libre,
yeah,
2011. That's the record. There's this really pretty instrumental at the end called Hazelnut. Is there like a story behind that?
Because
it says Hazelnut R.I.P. Is that like in memory of somebody?
Yes. It's the, you know, the song, it's not a song, nobody sings. So, you know the track Maggot Brain, right?
Yeah, by Funkadelic, Parliament.
And you know Mr. Hazel?
Eddie Hazel, player, yeah, that, of course, yeah.
Yeah, that solos his brains out like for 10 minutes.
Beautiful song, yeah.
So that's for him.
Oh, Eddie Hazel, Hazelnut. Yeah, okay.
It doesn't sound like it's for him because the sound, you know. But with... we paid the honor for him. It's like,
oh, you licensing. You paid him a licensing?
No. It was like, it was made for him, just for this solo, you know? It was one night that we were listening to it. All of us were listening to it. We were having some drinks, and we were like, what is he doing, man? He's making love to guitar.
Oh, that's right, great, in front of us. Great song, man. Yeah.
So we had an instrumental. We already had it, and we said, that's for him.
So you did a great solo on that, man.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, real good. You know, I saw it. You know who Government Mule is?
Government Mule, yes.
Yeah, I saw them at the Beacon Theater in New York. They do like a New Year's set every year, like on December 30th and December 31st. Yeah. I went up, I think it was 2011. I had my older son with me. We had a great time going up to New York, and they played that song. And man, Warren Haynes did a great job. It was killer, man. You got to, you know, seeing him live do that track, that was freaking awesome. Really good song. So thanks, man. Thank you for explaining that. I was curious. 2014, your album Vigilante. That was kind of like a bit of a, it seemed like a departure for you because it was more like sort of punk, like punk influenced. You know, like a little more, not hardcore, but you know, it was just, it was like different than what you normally do.
We have never been stable. I mean,
nobody on this show is stable. Don't worry, you fit right in.
one just has to listen to one random track of every album that we've made, and you can tell. I mean, we are not going to play the same music for the rest of our lives because we are very, very afraid of getting bored.
Good, man.
You know, but so it's what we try to keep is the groove. We like the groove. We like our drummer's groove, so we like the groove. And the guitar-based thing that it's
yeah,
guitar rock. You
yeah,
know what
totally
I mean?
Guitar rock.
It can be punk influence sometimes. It's always blues influence. You know,
yes.
It's blues based because that's. I mean, these five notes come from there. You know which five notes.
Yeah, man.
And but it depends on the time that we we do the album. How are we doing at this time? How are we feeling this time? If we are more bluesy or more melodic or more sentimental or more aggressive, so it just happens.
You know? Yeah, and then like we talked about earlier, is that like a rolled cigarette or is that a joint?
Oh, it's a normal one.
Oh, it's a rolled cigarette?
Normal rolled cigarette, yes.
Is weed legal in Greece?
No, not at all.
Not at all? Not even for medical?
Your question is very up to date because at this year, it's the first year that oil, CBD-based oil and
yeah.
some other things like that began being sold here, but the real medical use is not yet. But it's going. It's yes. I think this parliament is trying to pass an act for this. Mm. I'm not sure when that is going to happen.
But do people smoke weed there? I'm assuming.
Everyone.
So I mean, is it like
an older guys?
Yeah,
you should see older guys.
Yeah. So does no people like don't throw you in jail for that or anything, do they?
Well, you have to be. I mean, police is going to come. They will try to arrest you or something.
Really?
But you have to like have some serious amount, not for one.
Okay. So if you're smoking a joint down the block, you're not going to get arrested.
Yeah. They would probably come and tell you something like, "Hey, would you like throw this away?"
Yeah. Reason? Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Get out. They won't be friendly, but, you know, they won't. But if you are aggressive to them, they might arrest you then.
Yeah, but I think cops are like that anywhere. If you're an asshole, you know, if you're nice, it's a lot easier to in anything, you know. It's always easy to get a lot further, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to detour. I was just that cigarette. I haven't smoked a cigarette in – oh, I can't even think when I quit, but watching you smoke that cigarette, it makes you want to smoke a cigarette now.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
No. Because like the act of smoking is relaxing. No. Enjoy your cigarette, man. It's like chill out. But I'm just saying, I haven't thought of that, but just watch the way you smoked it and the way you rolled it. It was like, wow, there's a process and it is like I smoke cigars. I find that relaxing, but you know, okay, so let's talk about we talked a little bit before we started recording. All your songs are in English. Do most people in Greece speak English? Like, do your fans in Greece understand what you're saying?
Yeah, most of them.
They do. So English is not that uncommon.
We are a country that our main industry, our only industry maybe, is tourism.
Interesting. I mean, okay.
Yes, that's what we're known for,
yeah.
For ancient history and then for tourism now. So, I mean, everyone knows the basic stuff. Everyone knows how to, like, say hello, give directions, you know. Everyone. I mean, my grandmom.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's...
Yes, it's okay. Like everyone.
Okay, very cool. Do you guys book your own gigs, or do you have like a booking agent? How does that work?
We've been booking our own gigs forever. We've been doing that forever. And just the last year at the end of 2017, we had a deal with a booking agent. She's called Sharon Richardson. Mm. And she's from England, from the UK. Mm-hmm. So we're going with her.
Oh, like, cool.
For the last 1 year and a half.
Everything's working out?
Yeah.
Good, I mean, man.
She's great. And fortunately for us, we met her because she enjoyed the music. The first thing that, you know, what made her contact us was that, oh, you play great music. I really like your show. I mean, she came. So...
Dude, that's the theme, man. Everybody likes your music.
Yeah.
That's why I contacted you, right? I've been listening to you. I think I got turned on to you back 10 years ago, maybe, by there used to be this blog, Stoner Rob. Do you know that guy? It was it was like Stoner Rob XXXX or something like that. And he would put
I'm not sure.
All this good shit, like, and then I think he disappeared, but man, I got turned on to so much good music from that dude. Yeah, yeah, really good guy. Do you guys play outside of Greece very often?
Yes, nowadays, yes. We probably do like 50 or 60 gigs outside Greece.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. Have you ever played the States?
No, never outside Europe, actually.
Well, man, you got to get to the States.
Yeah.
Is that possible? I guess it's so expensive with visas and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been told a lot. Like we receive many messages from the US, from Australia, from, but I mean, that's what pushed us to try to find and eventually find a booking agency. That's what we couldn't do on our own.
Get overseas in other countries.
Yeah. So I think hopefully in the next 1 or 2 years, this will happen.
Very cool, man. That'd be great.
That's a big thing.
Let me ask you this. Where did you grow up in Greece?
Athens.
Okay. So that's a major city.
Yeah. That's the capital.
Yeah. So what was your childhood like growing up? That's a very American question, I know.
Yeah, that's not a very Greek question, so I'm trying to figure out what should I say.
How to answer, I don't know.
I think it was pretty normal. Mm. That was a good time for Greece. The 80s, yeah. That's when I was born. And lots of money came in Greece during that period. Mm. They wasn't our money, but we didn't know that back then. So we spent it.
Yeah.
But no, it was fine. I lived like 20 or 25 minutes outside the center of Athens.
Okay.
So it was a good neighborhood. You know, it still was a neighborhood. You know what I mean? We knew everyone in the street, you know, saying good morning, hello, how are you, and like, or going outside to play with other kids without telling no one, or like without you know, arrange it.
Sure.
Just go to the square. It was like a village.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
So it was fine. It's fine. I had fun.
That's cool, man. What kind of work did your parents do when you were growing up?
My mother was a dentist.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. And my father was a journalist.
That is badass. What did he write about? What kind of publication? Like, what was his topics?
Politics.
Oh, wow. So
just that.
We won't go there, but that's really interesting. Not that I just, you can't even talk about that nowadays, you know, but it's too much of a hotbed for people. But that's really cool. So that's a pretty interesting background, having your parents. So your parents were probably pretty open-minded people to lots of different things.
They were cool. Yes. They were, I mean, they didn't. I have a bigger sister and a younger brother. Okay. They were cool with us. Like I think they, the fact that I'm a musician proves that they let us do what we wanted to do. I think that's it.
Yeah, that is cool. So they supported your career, your interest in wanting to become a musician.
They supported my musical education. You know what I mean? They didn't want it. They saw that I wanted to do that, so they supported it. They paid for it.
That's really cool.
And they were a little bit, you know, nervous when I told them that I don't want to. I want to quit college.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know when I was 16 that I wanted to be just a musician. So I gave the Greek exams for the colleges, and I got to a college. And then 3 or 4 years after that, I was bored, and I told them I want to be a musician. So at first they were like skeptical with it, but just in the aspect of to make money and to earn a living. That's what where they were anxious about.
Sure, yeah, that's normal. You have kids yourself?
But they, no, not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah. Well, you'll see. You always have concerns for your kids, man. It's like that's just the way it is, you know.
Well, I know. I mean, I know that they were trying to do what they thought was best at every time. So it's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I'm glad it all worked out. What are you looking to do more of, like musically, over the next few years?
I hope that we continue play together. I mean, Planet of Zeus, play together, and you know, tour, record albums, and all this thing. I hope that we can reach a certain level of how do you call it? I will be. Let me explain. If we get over a level that we can earn a living just from the band,
yeah,
and I could stop being a session player for some years, maybe not for sure. The rest of my life, I would be happy.
Yeah, that would be great, man.
I would be happy having nothing else to do other than Planet of Zeus. But other than that, the last 2 years. I like to participate in other productions, like other bands or singers. I mean, I have a friend, she's a singer, she's called Cookie, like the cookie, you know?
Yeah.
And she wanted to make an album last year, so I helped her with, she wanted to have horns and strings, and she wanted scores for them and arrangements and... So I did that. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's cool. So it's like arranging. So you did a producing and arranging pretty much.
Kind of.
A music director.
Yeah, kind of. Music director is sounds very big to me. But the producer and the arranging thing, I think I really enjoyed doing it. And I didn't know that I would enjoy it. At first I was like, oh man, she's my friend. I have to do it. But then I enjoyed it.
That's cool. It's really cool when I hear different players taking different opportunities, and then good stuff comes out of it. You know, when I talk to a lot of players, I say in the beginning, "How did you get started?" And they say, "I said yes to everything." And I think that mentality is healthy because there's, you know, a lot of upside to saying yes. Even as you go further in your career, I mean, you got to be smarter, but you know.
I agree. You have to try things,
yeah,
to know that you don't like them or that you like them.
And
you
sometimes,
have to try things.
Yeah, and like look at this thing. Something good came out of it. Now, man, that's a pretty specialized art. You can probably get some other gigs doing that. That'd be, you know, great.
Who knows?
All right. So, let's talk about gear, man.
All right.
What's your you got some? Your tone is phenomenal, man. I really dig it. It's very consistent. What's your go to guitar? You're welcome.
My go to guitar is a Gibson Les Paul Studio.
All right, talk
that's,
about it.
That's the first hammer, you know.
What year? When did you get it?
I got it secondhand, but it was made in 1993.
Oh, very cool, man. Is it chambered or is it heavy?
Oh, it's heavy as you know. As
really?
It's heavy as fuck.
That's what I thought, man. What color is it, and what kind of pickups you got in there?
The cherry red.
Yeah.
Is this what it's called?
Well, it depends. Cherry. It could be wine, and there's cherry red. Is like a burst, like a cherry red burst?
No. It's not a burst. It's
just cherry red. Like
I think it's cherry red. It's like the first. Yeah.
Okay, yes. So it's red, cherry red. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the SG. Very cool.
And it has the original humbuckers from Gibson.
Very cool. And
I think it's all original. I haven't changed a thing. Yes.
Oh, it sounds great, man. What's your second and third guitars to round out your top three?
It's always the Stratocaster, you know, the one I told you. It's always there. I've never played live with it. I mean, with Planet of Zeus.
The Strat?
But in the studio, she does some things.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
Mainly, you know, lead playing, not rhythm. And I also have a custom-made guitar. There's one of our friends that he made the cover art for Macho Libre.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's also a luthier. He makes guitars.
He was an architect. But he really enjoyed, you know, music, and he plays instruments. So he started designing instruments for fun. And then he decided to make some. And when he decided to make his first instruments, he told us, guys, you are the only ones that I know that play serious music. So if we can buy together all the equipment I will be needing, like all the parts and wood or pickups or whatever, I will do instruments for you. So he made two guitars and one bass.
That's really cool.
And the one that I got is like it's like a Fender Jazzmaster. It has P90s and a Bixby.
Oh, very cool, man.
I can write you down because if I can write you down how he's called. Let me find out. How can I write you during? Can I?
Yeah, you just got to put it on there. There's a little message. Oh, I don't know. There you go. Now you're taking pictures of me. That's scary.
Oh, I didn't know. No, deny.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. No. So it's here. Yes, it's here. So you see it?
Yeah, D.D. Levy.
Yes.
Yeah, so the guy's name is D.D. Levy, if anybody wants to look into that. D-E-D-E-L-E-V-E-E.
Yes. And this is actually when you pronounce it fast, it means it doesn't work in Greek.
It means it doesn't work. That's pretty funny.
If you say the levy,
it means it doesn't work.
it doesn't work.
Very cool, man. You're involved in the writing, I'm assuming, of the music as well? Like, do you all write or how does
that work? Yes, some of it. Yes, we all write. I mean, even Serafim, our drummer, he also knows how to play guitar, basically, you know. Just the chords or
sure.
So we all kind of, I mean we've all written at least one song.
What's your favorite song you wrote for Planet of Zeus?
Oh, come on. I don't know. I'm not sure. I like Them Nights, you know it?
From what record?
From Loyal to the Pack.
Them Nights, yeah, I got 5 stars on it, man.
But most of all, I like the tone. I like the guitar that I played there, not the actual track, not the songwriting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I really like how I recorded it and the sound that I got, and I used a Telecaster there. It wasn't mine.
A Tele, that's interesting.
Yeah.
How about what's your favorite song to play?
My favorite song to play is The Great Dandelos.
What album is
it's
that
from? It's Vigilante. It's the first track, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Great Dandelos. Yeah. Right. Very cool.
It's written. It's a song written for Nick Dandelos.
Who is that?
Which is Nick the Greek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Gambler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, tell me your top. Do you know the expression Desert Island Discs?
The place that you are alone and you have only 3 discs.
Yeah. You got right? it. What's your Desert Island Discs?
All right. Let me see. Probably it it should be one record from the Rolling Stones. I'm not sure which. So can I get a best of, like 40 licks or something?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so, I'll get the best of.
Best of for the Stones. Yeah, I'm a big Stones fan too.
Yeah. I mean, Keith Richards is my my biggest maybe guitar influence.
Oh, ever. Really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like his style, the playing style, not the outfit.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So there's that. As a person of my generation, I should Rage Against the Machine, the first.
You know what, man? It was kind of sad. I saw Prophets of Rage.
Yeah. Oh.
Like 2 years ago with both my sons. That are probably your age.
Was it sad?
It's just like, it wasn't, it was, you know, it's just, you just realize how vital Zach is to that band. You know, I mean, it was a good concert, but
it's this voice. You have to hear this voice.
That's an explosion, man. And, you know, Be Real was kind of funny. You know what they did? They were, so it's Be Real and what's the guy's name from the band
from Body Count?
No, from Long Island. Yeah, Chuck D. Good Lord, his voice is just I'm a huge fan of his voice, you know, and with Public Enemy, but it's not the same without Zach. It was really
it's not.
Yeah,
I mean, have you heard? Have you listened to One Day as a Lion?
Yes, I have that. I listened to that.
This is more Rage Against the Machine than the other thing.
Yes, it is, because it's Zach, you know.
Yes.
It's Zach. And it was just, you know, I was just disappointed. I was expecting Rage Against the Machine. I shouldn't have. It was my own expectations, you know. I shouldn't have had any expectations. But it was funny because Be Real goes out in the audience and he's smoking a joint and he's passing around weed to everybody. And he's walking around with the joint and everybody's taking a hit of the joint. It was really funny, man. It's just, you know, that's his whole thing. He's really into smoking weed. But it was an okay show. But, man, I'm a big Rage fan. I wish they would have come back together. So.
Yeah, me too. Their DVD Live in Mexico City.
Great. It's just great. They're just such a badass band, man.
You're watching a warehouse going down. When I watch it, I always think that how didn't the building come down? I mean, you watch everyone going like, whoa, damn it. Okay.
I'm gonna have to check that out now because I haven't seen that.
A third one?
Hold on, I can't hear you. The mic. Yeah, there you go.
Do I have a third one?
Yeah, you got Best of Stones and Rage.
Oh, Best of Stones and Rage. So I have to pay homage to the other part of me. So probably it would be like Seventh Son of the Seventh Son.
Iron Maiden. Yeah, very cool, man.
Yeah. So I covered all aspects. The classic thing.
Yeah. You got the blues. You got Rage and you got prog rock.
Heavy metal. That's what we call it.
All right, man. So this is tough. The questions are a little tough here. What's the most important thing, Stelios, that you have learned about yourself throughout your career and just life in general?
I think one of the most important lessons that we got to get from playing together all these years. I mean, the bigger lessons came from the band, not from me playing music as an individual. It's learning how to be part of a team, you know, how sometimes you have to follow someone's dream or the other time someone else has to follow your dream, and how to leave your ever-growing ego outside the room, you know.
Yeah, man, that's really cool. Yeah.
Just, you know, it's the art of getting along with people. That's what I've learned through playing music.
And you guys have been – it's all the original members since 2000, right? Or since 2008, right?
2006 – that's the I mean, it was just the three of us, and then we became four. But we are all, in essence, original members.
That's amazing, man. That's really not very common.
And we grew up in the same neighborhood, so it's.
So you're lifelong friends, pretty much.
Yeah, like from not lifelong, but from the age of 11, 12 or something.
That's really cool, man.
Me and Babis, that singer, we were classmates during high school, like sitting at the same bench, you know.
That's cool, man. So when one of you guys gets thrown out of the house by the girlfriend or the wife, do you sleep at the other one's house?
Again, I had something like.
What's that?
Come again? I didn't hear you.
I said, so when one of you gets thrown out of the house by the wife or the girlfriend, they go sleep at the other one's house. That's how close you guys are.
Yeah, that can happen. Hasn't happened yet, but if it happens, we will be there for him.
That's cool.
Or they will be there for me.
That's very cool, man. I always like to ask this question to people from other countries because I think I learn often a lot. What's your definition of happiness?
I think everyone's definition of happiness should be not feeling obliged to do things, not feeling, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're going to do your thing, whatever that is, you should feel like, you know, let's go and do it, but do it in the best way possible. Otherwise, don't do it. Hmm. Even if it's like selling cigarettes, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You have to find the things that you enjoy and stick with them.
Sure, man.
Not be and what I've learned from my experience, it could be hard to stick to them because, you know, the first 3 or 4 years that I tried to be a professional musician, I didn't have any job, you know. I was playing one gig there, one gig there, once a week, once every 2 weeks, something like that. So it would be very easy for me to say, you know, fuck it, let's go back to school,
yeah.
You know, become an engineer and, you know, do whatever. But so up to this point, there comes a month that I don't know how much money I'm going to earn, if I'm going to earn any money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to live a life that when money comes, I have to make all the calculations, you know,
yeah,
for
yeah.
The month to come. It's not the best thing, you know, not be able to be sure of what's coming, but the feeling that that I get from when I play with the guys or alone, like for half an hour, even for half an hour, it's very relaxing. So, you know,
yeah.
there you have it. It's like it's like not paying for therapy and having it.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. Very cool, man. Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Best childhood memory.
Best childhood memory. Ah, okay. That's very funny. I once won a competition on TV for a bicycle.
Oh, cool.
So there had this commercial that you had to like send a message. No, there was no cell phones back there. No, there wasn't. So you had to telephone, pick up the phone and call a specific number and tell what's your name and all that. And then there was the next day at the same time when it was the Disney Club or something like that, Mickey Mouse Club. I don't know what was that, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I had to wait until the end of the next show because at the end of the next show, they were going to announce who won the bicycle. So I was watching TV like, and she told my name, like she said, Stelios Provis. I was like, what? And I started running around the house and I think
that's cool, man.
One of my best memories.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I ran to my dad and I said, Dad, I want a bicycle. And he didn't believe me. And so I had to make him call at the TV station and
prove it.
Find out that it was true.
That's cool, man. That's a nice memory. Tell me something about yourself that people might find a little odd.
No. You know what? What they seem to find out. I'm not the best organized person in the world.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I often every couple of months I literally forget to pay my phone. so every couple of months I have to pay some more to get them, you know, get it working again.
Yeah, I get you, man. But
15 years in this, and I still do it. You know what I mean? So I am this kind of guy. Everyone knows it. My friends know it. But when it comes to what we do, I'm a perfectionist to a level that they don't understand. But it's like an OCD for me. You know what I mean?
I totally get it.
I can't stand it. I mean, we were recording now, and something felt like a little bit out of tune. I wasn't sure what was it, which guitar or like, and I was like, play it again. And our engineer was like, man, nothing is out of tune. And I was, no, it is out of tune. We have to find it now. So I had him analyze the waveform to find if it's out of tune.
Great.
It was very, like, have you seen the Melodyne or something that analyzes audio?
Yeah.
It was like this much higher. You couldn't even hear it, but I did. And I told him, if we don't fix it, every time I hear this song for the rest of my life, I will only hear this particular thing and nothing else.
So is he able to fix it in the mix?
No, or
you had to record it again. Okay, yeah.
It was just that. But the thing is that what they find out is that I am the same person that
forgets to pay his bills. That's funny, man. That's funny. That is cool, man. I have a son like that. One of my sons is like that. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Happiest moment or time in your life?
Well, I was really happy when my sister got married because she looked very happy. I mean, she was crying out of joy, and that was great. I got crazy drunk after that. But I think...
Make sure you play that for her, man. That was a really nice thing to say.
No, I've told her.
Yeah, that's really, really sweet.
She knows. I think I've told her at the time then.
Yeah, like that's really cool, man.
10 minutes ago, I hugged her and I was like, blah, blah, blah. But the time, that's a moment. But the time, I think it's the age of like 18 to 26, 27. It's an age that you are starting to be on your own, but you're not completely on your own. You don't have to. I mean,
sure.
You have to know how to find out how to do it. But, you know, in Greece, it's okay if you ask your parents for money up to a certain age.
Sure.
I don't know if it's anywhere like that. So it's the most relaxing period of our lives. We've just ended school.
Yeah.
There's no like mandatory education after that. You don't have to do it. If you like it, you can go and do it, but if you don't like it, do whatever you like.
Yeah, it's the same thing here.
So you literally don't have any obligations like for 5 years in a row. So that was very relaxing period.
Yeah, no responsibility is relaxing.
Yeah, no responsibility whatsoever.
Yeah, and then when you have to pay bills or support others or, you know, consider others, it's heavy shit.
Yeah.
Flip side, man, what was the darkest period of time in your life?
When I was 19, oddly enough, it's at the same period.
Yeah.
It was like 4 months. When I was 19, I found out that I had a problem with my spleen.
Oh, wow.
So I had surgery and removed it. So everything worked out. As you can see, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's great.
But there were like 4 or 5 months that I came to feel and know the inevitable of death, you know?
Wow.
Existence, you know what I mean?
It was that serious.
It was that serious because it was way bigger than it should. it had become way bigger than it should. Doesn't matter why, but it did happen.
Yeah.
So after the surgery, it was very, how can I say it?
Touch and go? Like unknown?
No, it was kind of not that much unknown, but it was very easy for me to, you know, get sick.
Okay. Because, yeah, your immune system.
Spleen is the main part of yes, our immune system.
Yeah.
So it was like if you get a cold, and doctors told me if you get a cold and you have some fever, at the least amount of fever, you come to us right at the hospital.
Yeah.
You know? So it was like some months living on pause. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like, yeah. Wow.
I think that was the darkest period, but many things came out of it. I mean, I found out that I don't have to give. I'm allowed to swear, right? I will.
Yeah, of course.
I found out that I didn't have to give a shit about things that I do not really care. You know,
dude, that's
I don't have
a to, very valuable lesson.
I don't have to pretend that I care for things that I do not, because I don't have time to care for them.
Good for you. That's a fucking really good lesson.
So that's it.
Good for you, man. Well, I'm glad everything
other than that,
out.
It's not fair.
Well, I hope that's the only dark period you have, man. That was really good.
Let's hope it.
Any hobbies or interests outside of music, Stelios?
I like camping.
Very a cool. Lot.
In mountains, at the seaside, wherever. I like all the, you know, the equipment to have a great tent and a great knife, you know, ropes and. I like doing all the.
That's cool, man.
Do you know the thing that's called bushcraft?
Bushcraft?
Yeah, it's the art of surviving in the nature.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone else I spoke to is into
this
that.
This is hardcore. I don't do that. This is hardcore. Okay, yeah. But some aspects, at some points of it, are very cool. I mean, we go. I have a friend, and we go camping on a mountain here in Greece.
Mm.
Like it's in meters. It's 1700 meters or something like that, 2000 meters, something like that.
Mm.
And during the night, it gets cold, like Greek cold. I mean, I don't know what's your definition of cold, but
holy shit, that's cold, man. Are you on Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Celsius.
Okay, so minus 15, I don't know what that is. It's probably like 20 degrees. It's still cold, man.
It is, yes, it is. And so in order to survive there, you have to build a fire.
Mm.
If you don't do that, you're going to die. So it has a thrill in it, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me feel alive. I really enjoy doing that.
That's cool, man.
Another on that, I like cooking. I cook all the time.
Everybody cooks in Greece and in Italy and all these ethnic countries, man. It's really cool. I got to get.
We have the ingredients.
I know. You know what, man? I've got to come to Greece one day because I see all these pictures and it looks just. Beautiful. I mean, drop dead gorgeous, man. You know, with the white, at least as the pictures they show us, you know, the white buildings and the blue ocean right behind it, man. It looks breathtaking.
That's just the islands, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the islands. But all the other parts are very good.
Well, man,
I mean, everyone that comes here enjoys it. So
now that I know you, if I go, I'm going to be letting you know. You can tell me where to go and where not to go.
I will do that.
Hey, two more questions. What is the best advice that you have been given and who gave it to you?
I have to think through it.
Yeah, it's a tough question.
The best advice. I'm trying to think how not to be cliche, you know?
Oh, just be whatever you want. Be whatever comes to mind.
I will probably be. I'm not sure.
It's okay. Clichés are good. People take comfort in clichés. That's why they're so cliché.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're true.
Yeah, for the most part. Sure, you know.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's a certain piece of advice that I've been given that or someone. I think most of the things that my mother's brother, my uncle.
Sure.
He was a very big part of my childhood because he left at the apartment next door to us.
Oh, cool!
So he was living there. So he was there. He He was a bachelor for the most of his life. So he was my other father, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And his whole aspect in life, his whole aura, I don't know how you say it.
Yeah, that's fine, aura.
Yeah, that was a big influence for me. His whole view, you know, on life. He was very easygoing, hardworking. He was never an asshole to anyone. I mean, he was always trying to be polite. I think politeness is a very underrated thing.
I agree with you, man. As a one thing I taught my kids, because I think it's so important to get, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, smile, look someone in the eye when they talk to you. And, you know, it's funny because when they were growing up, I never really saw them do that in the house, but everybody would tell me, hey man, your son or your daughter is, and yes. I would be like, my kid? But they were like, they're so polite. And I said, thank God, you know. So I was just happy, you know, they go to someone's house, they say, please. Like, I had kids come to my house and just sit at my dinner table and say, hey, give me this. I'm like, what the fuck? Give me this, man. Pull that shit in your mom's house, not with me. Give me this.
How old are you, young man?
Yeah, you know, but my kids, it was important, Mike. So I agree with you. Politeness gets you opens a lot of doors for you, man.
But I don't mean it only in a useful way. It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I would, like, go out, do your things, do your jobs. I don't know what you go. And then when you go back to your house and you're like, I was kind with everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nice. That's a fulfilling thing to feel. You know what I mean?
Very much, man. You just do little kind acts with somebody. You know, I hold the door open, ask somebody when, you know, do you want to sit? Do you need this chair? Do you need me to move something? Do you need me to lift something? Can you helping someone across the street when they're in a wheelchair or something like that, man? Yeah, I totally. You feel good after you do that stuff, man, for sure. Yeah, I agree with you, man. That's cool, man. Very good. And last question. Tough one.
Oh,
toughest decision you had to make or most difficult thing you've had to do?
I think we have to go back to the start. It's the time that I decided to leave college, and at this, that was the toughest decision. And the hardest thing was to tell my mom and dad.
Well, especially they're kind of academics. And it's tough when you have academic parents.
You know, I used to be a great student. You know, in high school I was like A grades, everything. You know, I was the perfect kid. I used to be the perfect kid, and then I got to the Athens Polytechnic School for Engineers, and it's supposed to be a high profile university, right? Mm-hmm. And so they had great. It was not their fault, but they had great expectations.
Sure.
You know, they thought that this kid is going to be a great scientist and change the world. So that was the hard part, because when I told them, it wasn't that bad actually. But before, I was deep, like very, very deep. I felt so bad for them and for me, you know, and I felt guilty, you know. I mean, they paid for your education. They did a lot. They believed in you. And now you're going to tell them that you're going to be a musician and maybe like be broke for the rest of your life. I mean, I didn't know at that point that the band was going to be okay or that I would be an okay player.
And sure.
So I think that was my toughest decision.
Very cool, man. You know, there's an old joke here in the States about a young girl, something like she goes out and tells her dad that she met this guy and she got pregnant and they're running away to some other country. And he's like, oh my God, what are you doing? And he's all upset. And he goes, no, dad, everything's okay. I just wanted to tell you that I failed my class. But, you know, she told him this terrible news. So then when you say, oh, I failed my class, he's like, oh, no big deal.
It's okay.
Right. So you kind of like give him the hard blow, and then, you know, so I thought of that when you said that, because you could have said something terrible, and then they would have been saying, you know, oh, I got caught driving drunk or something, and then they would, I'm like, no, I just at least, okay, that's no problem, you know.
It's okay.
Yeah, you there, man? That's all good, bro. It's all cool. Hey, listen, first of all, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for making me very happy with all your music over the last 10 or so years that I've been listening to you guys. I really enjoy your band. I love your music. I want everybody to check out Planet of Zeus. They're really, if you like classic rock and just great rock and roll and guys that are having a good time making it, I would encourage you to listen to it. Great psychedelic. Your playing's great, man. I really enjoy it. Your tone is great. Thank you very much for all the music.
Thank you very, very much for having me here. It's an honor.
My pleasure. And thanks for taking the time and being so open. I know this is totally not any questions that anybody in Greece would ever ask you. So
it's not at all. They're very, very different, but I really enjoy it because questions here sometimes can be very boring. Like questions like how Planet of Zeus got their name. How does that change anything?
I've only asked that question one time out of 450 interviews. I can't even remember who it was, but it was such something like – I forgot who it was even, but it was really
weird.
Was
it not a very odd name? I'm okay with it.
It was bizarre. Like I don't remember what it was.
That's an okay question.
But I even told the person, I said, listen, this is going to be the only question that I'm going to ask you. I said, I think I know the story. I'm just not sure if my listeners do. Because I hate asking the questions everybody else's. Because then I'm wasting your time. You're like, fuck, you come here. You make the time. Anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate everything. Let me tell people where to find you guys. Again, the name of the band is Planet of Zeus. They're going to be playing, if you're in Europe, they're going to be playing a bunch of summer festivals this year. And what you want to do is check them out. Go to their Facebook page or Instagram. Is it Planet of Zeus on both?
On everything.
Okay. Go to Planet of Zeus on both Facebook and Instagram, and they'll be posting all their dates there. You could also go to their website, which is planetofzeus.gr, right, for Greece.
Yes.
And also go check them out on Bandcamp. It's Bandcamp, planetofzeus.com. And Zeus is Zeus, like the Greek god. And you'll be playing live also like towards the fall around Greece, you said?
It's not yet arranged, but it will probably happen, yes.
Awesome. I actually have some it's funny, on Instagram, I have it's like this one Greek guy who's in Greek, and he's always like, I don't know if his name is Stelios, but it's a very Greek name. I can't think of it, but he's always like maybe Gus or something like, you know, and he's always like, Craig, you got to come to Greece. So I hope he's listening to this, and I don't remember your name, but I was thinking of you during this interview. So if you're listening, know that I appreciate all your support and comments on Instagram. And that's it, brother, man. Hang on. I want to say goodbye to everybody. Thanks again, Stelios. It's Stelios Provis, Provis, great guitar player, man. Please check him out at Planet of Zeus. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this interview, share it with a friend on your social media. We appreciate your support. Thanks very much again to Stelios Provis. Your mom will be proud of you now. He's told me that story before. Mom, he's a good guy. You did a good job for spending time with us. I appreciate it. And make sure you go to everyonelovesguitar.com. Sign up to get on our newsletter list so you and I can connect. And most important, remember that happiness is a choice, so choose wisely. Be nice, go play your guitar, and have fun. Till next time, peace and love, everybody. I'm out. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Everyone Loves Guitar. If you did, make sure you go to everyonelovesguitar.com/subscribe and subscribe to the audio podcast and to our very active YouTube community. And if you have any comments, please write me at everyonelovesguitar.com/hello. We'll see you on the next episode. Until then, make sure you choose happiness. Relax and have as much fun as possible.